I've got to tell you a story. Who read the C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? Who's been, oh, far out. Okay. So I did a bit of research because I forgot this, the second brother. So it's Peter's the oldest, right? And Edmund is the second boy. Two characters in that book. And you look at Peter, and he's like your blue-eyed boy, isn't he? He's like, he's got the sword. He's the older brother, always does the right thing. He's, you know, he's courageous, full of integrity, full of life, never does anything wrong. Then you got Edmund. Who do we relate to in that story? Edmund is the one that makes mistakes. He's the one that gets sucked in. He's the one that the White Witch appeals to his negative side and appeals to his side that he wants stuff, appeals to his ego, and she sucks him in. Am I right so far? There's a very poignant moment in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe where Edmund is confronted by Aslan, the lion. As we know, C.S. Lewis was a Christian, absolute mate, you should read some of his stuff. And Aslan is like a type or a symbol, of course, of Jesus. And there's a point in that story, and I'm plucking back to my 10, 11-year-old brain, where it's a dream or it's real, we're not quite sure, where Edmund undergoes this incredibly painful experience where Aslan takes him aside and basically, he's a lion, right? He tears him to pieces. Do you remember the bit in the story? And he basically leaves him bleeding and shorn and torn apart. And it's a private moment. I remember the other children thinking, what happened there? What happened? And Aslan is like, well, it's between me and Edmund. But basically, Aslan has this incredibly fierce conversation with Edmund about Edmund and about what he's like. And he's left bleeding, in pain. And you're thinking to yourself, what type of God is this? What type of figure is this in this betrayal of Aslan, a type of Jesus Christ? There's another very poignant line in that book, probably the most famous from a Christian point of view, at least, of those whole seven books, where they talk about, the question is asked of Aslan, the lion. The question is asked, is he, anyone know? Is he safe? Is he safe? Is he tame? Is he? He's not, is he? Not even a bit. But he's good. I don't believe for one moment that our God is safe. I think we want him to be. I think we'd prefer him to be politically correct and say the right thing and never offend anyone. But here's the thing. In order to get to the very heart of Edmund and to pick him apart, for him to understand who he truly is, there's this incredibly fierce conversation that goes on in that book. And I want you to think about yourself. I've got a friend who's a counselor, and he talks to me about when someone comes in and they start to unpack themselves and to try to understand themselves and be understood. And we all present to other people the image that we want to present to them of who we are. We want to be known a certain way. We want to be presented a certain way. We want other people to think of us in a certain way. And there's this fear we all have. There's this fear that you have, that if people knew what you were actually like, they peek behind the curtain. If you even confronted what you are really like, what would that be like? You would be exposed. You'd be vulnerable. People wouldn't like you. Imagine if you were truly known what you're actually like. It's a very fierce conversation that God would have with you. Shannon stood up here and testified but a conversation that she had with God, that she argued with God for hours. It's a very fierce conversation. Our idea of who God is, your idea of who God is, here's the thing. There's got to be moments in your life where the light of God, where he shines his spotlight onto you and where you are actually, you're undone. And I really mean that. I think the moment that we are most undone is when we understand ourselves and understand what we're really like, where we have really messed up, where we've really made a mistake, where we can stop blaming other people and go, you know what? This is me. This is me. I don't think we actually want to face sometimes who we actually are. And there comes moments in our life where God wants to come to you and he wants to bring a fierce conversation to you to actually shine his light on you so you understand what you are actually like, because we pretend so much. We pretend to ourselves. We tell ourselves stories about ourselves, and we certainly tell others stories about ourselves. But that moment where we're actually exposed for who we actually are, those are they're our most challenging moments. But out of those fierce conversations can come incredible things and incredible changes. The Apostle Paul, and we're looking at the book of Acts for the next month or so on our Wednesday nights, he was someone who absolutely was incredibly sure of himself. He knew who he was. He knew he was serving God. He knew what his mission was. He knew what he needed to do until a revelation came to him. And the revelation has as much about what God is and who God is, as much about that as actually what it does about who Paul is and who Paul was. An incredible thing about this story, you think I'd know this, but it's actually repeated. It's actually three times in the book of Acts that it's given. If you'd asked me that, maybe I could have told you, but three times this story is actually told. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. Three places that story is repeated. It's almost like a linchpin for the book of Acts in terms of this story of Paul, because he was very significant. But God saw something in him that caused God to have a very fierce conversation with him about him. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, because he was Saul, if you don't know, he had everything changed, but his name was certainly changed. He was called Saul, then he became Paul. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. So he's in Jerusalem and he heads off to Damascus. It's about a 6-day travel. And what happened, the other accounts that I told you about, they tell us that he traveled at noon in the middle of the day. It's hot. There's never, hardly ever anyone traveling by foot, 6-day travel, at noon. That's not when you travel. You walk in the morning, you siesta in the high sun, and then you travel again in the evening. That's what they did. He's traveling at noon. Why? Because he is incredibly eager to get to Damascus to have the Christians killed. He is incredibly passionate, and he thinks that he is incredibly right about what he is doing. To persecute the Christians, to get to them, to drag fathers and mothers away from their home because they believed in Jesus. Very passionate about what he was doing, very passionate about what he thought was right, very angry, very eager in what he was doing. It's very easy for us to think we're right, to think we're doing the right thing. It's very easy for us to tell ourselves stories about the things that we're doing. It's very easy for us to justify the things that we do, to present ourselves in a certain way. This is exactly what Saul, who would become Paul, would do. back to Jerusalem in chains. The story goes on. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." A light from heaven. Remember when I was doing the Mighty Men's Conference, we had this big conference for men, and we were setting up outside, we were in a tent, and my job was to do the job of the media. And in order to do that, I had to get these old projectors out and set them up. And I'm setting them all up, and then the people are saying, "Why can't I see the words?" "Well, it's the middle of the day, man. You can't see anything on that screen. You've got this old projector. There's nothing you can see. You've got to wait till the evening, and then you can see it." Because, of course, the lights, particularly back then, the technology was such, there's no way you could see a thing. I went to this church in Chicago just last year. They had these incredibly amazing LED screens. They're so bright. You can see them in broad daylight. You can see this stuff. We're going back to the first century. When's he traveling? He's traveling at noon. This light is described like lightning. It's so bright that it blinded them. And Paul has this incredible experience where he hears this voice. And there are so many explanations that people have given and tried to give to tell about this story, to try to say, well, this is what happened. Paul had an epileptic fit. Paul made the story up. Paul had an agenda. Paul told himself a story, and this is a story that he told himself. And you know what? We could go through and we could justify and we could tell you, I could tell you why those reasons are ridiculous and why those things are ridiculous. But here's the thing. He was hearing from Jesus. In your life, when God comes and he speaks to you, and he does, you can tell yourself a whole heap of stories about those things. Oh, it wasn't God. It's just how I'm feeling. Or God wouldn't speak to me. He speaks to some other person. Or there is reasons for this and there's reasons for that. Maybe it's not God at all. You know, just as you heard Shannon's testimony, and she made it sound so clear. God spoke to me and I argued with God, and God said this and God said that. And some of you are thinking, God doesn't do that for me. And God is saying, well, that's an incredible story. I don't know if it's true or not. Is it really God? Is it actually something else? You can look at the story of Paul and God speaking to him, and you can rationalize it away. And in fact, there is so much that you can rationalize away about your faith. But here's the thing. God's love for you is such, he actually does want to speak to you, for you. Every soul sitting here, God is eternal. He is infinite. He doesn't sit here and say, I can't speak to a couple hundred people. There's too many. God actually has got a word for you. Will you receive that word? Will you listen for his voice? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God still speaks? Do you believe he actually has a word for you? Or will you rationalize that away? Will you come up with other explanations for it? Will you push it down? Will you push it aside? Let's be honest, for so many, it seems like church, their faith, their Christianity is just on a cerebral level. And we go through the motions and we go through our lives and we do these things and we do the right things and we forget that in fact there is an intersection of the Holy Spirit that God actually wants to speak to you. He does not want you to rationalize away him. Very interesting. This is so awkward for poor old Saul, because he's here with Jesus and God asks him a question. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, Saul was a very intelligent man. And you see this even post this event. He uses his skill. He uses his rationality. He uses his ability to speak to different groups of people on different things at different times. He was a highly intelligent, highly trained person. He knew exactly what he was doing, who he was doing it to, and why. I can't help but feel that Saul is a little bit like that phrase. You know that phrase, I think they protest too much? I looked into that phrase. It comes from a Shakespeare play, and it's basically a play within a play, as Shakespeare tends to do. And there's someone that's acting in a certain way to hide the fact that that is actually how they feel. And we've taken that phrase, I think they protest too much. And you know when you see someone and they're being super defensive and super angry and super, they've got a super argument mounted for something. Sometimes you see someone, and let's be frank, you have an angry atheist. And they're like super angry and super defensive. And you think, what insecurity are you hiding? What is it that you don't actually believe that you're purporting that you do believe? I think we do that too. And Saul, certainly, I think he did it as well. I think that he was super intelligent, super smart, knew the scriptures back and front. And I think he was so passionate because he had to be right. And him being right was far more important than the truth. The truth was, who was he persecuting? You're persecuting me, says Jesus. And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Now that word Lord there, that can just be Lord, Master, but I think he meant it more. Because I think he heard that voice from heaven, and I think he saw the light, and I think his mind goes back to Moses before the burning bush, other times in the scriptures where we see light and we hear the voice of God. I think Saul knew enough to know that this was divine. And so in that moment, he says, who are you, Lord? Well, I am the one who you are persecuting. So God's fierce conversation with Saul is such. You think you're doing the right thing, but mate, you are not. You think you are on the right track, but mate, you are not. Who are you persecuting? You are persecuting me. And the voice replies, I am Jesus, if there was any doubt. I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. I find this such a beautiful thing because Jesus at that moment is saying to us, to you, I love the church. I love my people. The people that you are persecuting, Saul, I love them. I care about them. I see their pain. I see their suffering. I see what they are going through. And I see you persecuting them. You are the one. He calls him out. You know, when God comes to you in a very fierce way, he's going to come with encouragement. He's going to come with love. He's going to come with forgiveness. But he's also going to confront you about you. Is that something that you actually want? I want feedback from God. I say I don't, and perhaps sometimes I don't, but I want feedback from God. I actually want to hear what he thinks about me. I actually want that. It's really hard when he comes. It is so difficult when God points out stuff to me about me, because I prefer it to be about someone else. I prefer him to come and tell me what someone else is doing wrong. And I think that's where we live. I think that's where you live sometimes. It's so easy to point out. It's so easy to be the critic. It's so easy to see what someone else is doing wrong in their faith and how their phrase was wrong and how they did this wrong. It's really difficult. It affronts our pride. In the book of James, it says, God draws near to the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. One of the greatest barriers we have to hearing from God is not actually hearing from God. It's actually listening and doing. It's actually responding. It's actually believing that he's actually speaking. The biggest difficulty is not hearing from God, because God is speaking all the time. The biggest difficulty for us is listening for that, believing it's God and acting on it and responding to it. And when someone else comes along and they point something out to us and we say, is this from God? Is it not? God draws near to the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do we really want to be like Christ? God will not come with soft, easy words. He is fierce. He will point out to you what actually is the truth. Are you able to handle that? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Story goes on, verse 6. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men with Paul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. They heard a sound. Saul heard a voice. this revelation for Paul, this insight into who he was specific, and it was for him. I want you to know that God has something for you, specific for you, because he sees you, he knows you, he wants you to be part of his kingdom, he wants you to be part of his tribe, he wants you to have purpose. There are things he wants you to do. God has a specific word for you. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? You know, sometimes last week we had a prophecy shared with us, and I heard that and I shared that, and I felt myself mouthing and saying aloud the words, I believe that and I receive that. I believe it and I receive it. Can I say again, the problem is not that God doesn't speak. The problem is that we need to believe it and we need to receive it for ourselves. We need to take it in. The sound went across there. The sound was heard by everyone else, but Saul had to believe that and he had to receive that for himself. And you know what happened in that moment? He was made strong and amazing and he went and conquered. No, he was not. He was blinded by the light. And they had to lead him another story here tells us they led him by hand into the city of Damascus. This strong man that was going to drag people away in chains, drag them out of their homes, take them back to Jerusalem to be persecuted. This strong man had his strength taken. Do you understand? God took his strength. God allowed him to be blind and to be weak and to be led back to the city. This man that had caused so much persecution and fear, we see that later on in the book of Acts, that the church was afraid of this man. They didn't want to bring him into their homes. This man is made weak. He's blind and he's led by hand. He can't even walk by himself because he can't see the ground. After this fierce conversation with God, after God had spoken to him, the companions led him by hand to Damascus. He remained blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. But here's the encouragement. Here's the incredible part about this story. It's a turnaround. God sees something that other people didn't see. God, everyone else saw this righteous, religious man who was dragging Christians to be persecuted. And I look at that story and think how awful a person he is. Man, how awful a person he was. Who could possibly forgive him? God saw something that I couldn't see, that you couldn't see, that I don't think Saul could have even seen about himself. Could he possibly understand pre-Damascus, pre-revelation from God? Could he possibly understand how much his life was going to be turned about? Would he recognize himself? Not even a bit. He went from being the person dragging people off in chains to being the person that was in chains. He went from being the strong leader to being blind and being led to Damascus. He went from being the person that got letters off the synagogue leaders to take that he could persecute Christian to be the person that wrote letters to the church, encouraging them to be who God wanted them to be. The turnaround in his life is complete, utter, and incredible. God saw something that we could not see. Possibly we couldn't see that. It's impossible. And I wonder about yourself, and I wonder if you look at yourself, and I wonder if you think about yourself, and I wonder if you can see what God can see. Because I think God sees something in every single person that's in this room, every single soul. Everyone here, God sees something in you that he wants to bring out, that he wants to bring alive. It may be that you need to have a fierce conversation with God about you, that God may need to tell you some stuff about yourself. And believe me, that will not be easy. That is incredibly painful. It's so easy to look at someone else, to see what they need to change. It is so difficult to understand what it is in us, myself, that needs to change. That is difficult, that is painful, that can be excruciating. It can be embarrassing, it can be shameful. and you may find yourself being weakened first before you're made strong. But how beautiful and how glorious it is, isn't it, to see a life transformed, to see someone become who God always saw them to be, to see someone be undone and then to be remade. Edmund was not left there on the floor bleeding and in pain. He was picked up, he was healed, and he became all that he could be. When others had seen a little brat concerned in a selfish way for himself, destroying the plans and the dreams, God saw something else. You know what? Here's the thing. I relate to Edmund. I don't relate to Peter. If you ever find yourself feeling really insecure about yourself, if you ever find yourself doubting who you are, if you ever say to yourself, you know what, I'm just not good enough and I don't fit in and I could never do this, I could be this, I think you're like the rest of us. I think actually that when we are our most vulnerable, when we're our most weak, our most sinful, when we've failed the most, that's actually where we relate to each other. Because I think we're actually all like Edmund. And I think we actually all need those moments where God takes us apart, puts us back together, and says, right, I love you. It's time. I think, in fact, we all need some healing. Just as the band is coming up, we're going to have a little time of prayer. And I wonder if in these next few moments we just actually need to confess some stuff in order that God might heal us. Can we all bow our heads? Can we close our eyes just to allow us just to rest and meditate in God's presence for a few minutes? I think the Spirit of God wants to do some business in your heart today. I believe that there are some people here who want to hear from God about them. I'm reminded of the words of David where he says, Lord, shine your spotlight on me. Have you been running from God? Is it time the Spirit of God did some business in your heart, some business in your life? Are you prepared to open yourself up to the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit? Lord, if there is anything you see, point that out to me. I want to be like Jesus. Just as we remain seated, this is a moment between you and God. Do you suspect that there are things that God has that he wants to say to you? If that is you, not for my sake, but just for yourself, will you just put your hand out in front of you? Do you suspect there are things that God has to say to you about you? Just be open right now. Physically, just posture yourself. Posture yourself to hear from God in this moment. It's a really dangerous thing to do, to be honest. Just posture yourself right now to hear from God. Lord, what do you see in me? Ask God that question now in your heart. Lord, what do you see? Lord, have I been running from you? Have I been dishonest? Have I been stealing? Have I lied? Have I stopped trusting you? Have I allowed myself to be overcome with anxiety and worry? You know, there's some people here today that are very cynical about God. I just feel it. And that may be because for years you've got bitter and you've forgotten how real God is and you've become cynical and you've become hard. That's between you and the Lord. But if that's you right now, you need to confess that. I'm telling you now, you need to confess that. We stand with you and we confess together that we've grown hard, we've grown cynical, we've stopped being warm towards the Spirit, we've stopped believing. We confess, Lord, that we've stopped believing. Lord, forgive us. And I say that us, because together as a church, we take responsibility for that. We all take responsibility for each other. But there are those here this morning who have a very hard heart. And the Spirit of God wants to break you. Whether it's now or later, you will be broken. Choose now. Allow the Spirit of God to soften your heart. Let go of the anger that you have towards God. Allow the Spirit to warm your heart right now. And you will be healed. Those chains will be gone. There are those here this morning that are doing everything in their own strength and thinking that that is the only way it can be done. If that is you, you need to recognize that now and confess it in Jesus' name. Lord, I am sorry for thinking that I can do this by myself and not trusting you to help me. That is you. You need to confess that right now in Jesus' name. Because you need to live your life, we all need to live our lives depending upon God, understanding that He is the only one that can bring in the supernatural. He's the only one that can provide beyond rational. He's the one that can provide beyond reason. He's the one that can provide beyond what we can provide for ourselves. In order for healing to come, in order for the Spirit to come and refresh you, you need to confess that. You need to let that go right now in Jesus' name. There are some here this morning that are harboring bitterness and anger against someone, resentment, that have stopped trusting, that have stopped being warm, that have allowed hurts and pains wrought upon them, and there is a root of bitterness in their heart. Right now, you need to confess that in Jesus' name. I don't know who you are. I have no idea. This is between you and God. But I'm encouraging you, I am saying to you, you need to confess that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I am sorry that I've not forgiven. I'm sorry for the resentment that has built up my heart, which is hindering the work of the Holy Spirit who wants to bring healing. The Lord has just revealed to me there are some here who are incredibly worried about some people in their lives that need healing, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical healing. I've been feeling and sensing all week that the word for God for this morning is healing. And there is power when God's people gather like this. There is power for miracles. There is power for God's strength. This is not us. This is the Holy Spirit. This is not us. This is Jesus. We take no glory. We expect and believe God will heal, and yet we understand and know that it is His power alone. You know, if there's someone that you don't have to say their name. Just stick your hand up. If you need healing or someone in your life needs healing, I want to encourage you right now. What can go wrong? Put your hand up. Put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now and ask for healing. Put it right up. Come on. together as a church. Lord Jesus, you see the hands that are raised. You know the stories. You know the names. We do not have a God that is not real. We do not have a God that is not supernatural. We have a God that brings healing and life to the church and to the people that we bring before him. Lord God, you see those hands that are raised, and in Jesus' name together we pray and we agree for healing over every life that is represented there, Lord. Amen. Amen. We believe, Lord Jesus. Can we stand to our feet? Father, as a church together, we confess that there have been moments in our own lives, in my life, in every person here's life, where we have disappointed, Lord, where you have seen something in us that you desire to change. Lord, today, afresh and anew, may we go out of here honoring you, pledging to listen to your voice, wanting you to have our whole heart, everything we have, everything that we are. In Jesus' name, we sing this together.